Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Zach Greinke.
Absolutely anything.
Is a loophole.
Who knew?
Zach Greinke, what is your favorite radio show? We know you're a blunt guy. We know you're going to tell it like it is. We know there's some choices around here, but Zach Greinke, what is your favorite radio show?
In the Loop.
Wait, hold on. Say it one more time.
In the Loop.
Okay. We already knew.
Because we have good storytelling skills.
We love you too, Zach. There you go. Let's grunt together, Zach. Astros over the weekend. Friday, you had a 9-6 W in what I'm calling the day of Kyle Tucker. Mm-hmm. Four RBIs, three hits, and a stolen base. Big Tuck coming through for the Stros on Friday. Saturday, a 5-4 loss, but we saw Zach Greinke retire the first 16 batters he faced. We also saw him wave Dusty Baker off, so he felt good. We saw George Springer Dinger, go ahead, but they ended up blowing it because Roberto Osuna hurt his forearm with one out.
Forearm strain?
In the ninth, we think. We'll hear from Dusty Baker on that in a second. And then yesterday you had the lefties saved the day. Framber Valdez with 6 1/3 of scoreless ball. Although I guess extra inning runs don't count against you. I'm not sure how exactly that works. And then you had young man Jake Taylor come in and seal the deal for the Stros in extra 5-4. So they take 2 out of 3. However, there is some bad news, John Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
There is some bad news. The bullpen is depleted. Chris Devinsky injured. Ryan Pressly trying to find his way. Roberto Osuna, the forearm injury. This was before Osuna even got hurt. Listen to Brandon Scott ask Dusty Baker about Brandon Scott of Sports Radio 610. Ask Dusty Baker about the bullpen. And listen to Dusty's reaction. And keep in mind, this is before the Osuna injury. Listen to Dusty, his reaction to being asked how he felt about the pen before Saturday's game.
Dusty, you feel better about your bullpen several days? I guess a week into the season, you feel better about it?
I don't know. That's a pretty good question. Well, I mean, they're more experienced than they were a week ago. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I guess I do. I'm getting a better idea about them.
Man, was that disrespectful? No, I don't think it was. I think it was just.
I mean, he's overwhelmed. He's dealing with a lot. Bro, they broke the
you
record.
Think?
They broke the record for debuts in a week. They have 10 guys, rookies in the bullpen. 10.
They should not be good.
10.
They should not be good with that. I mean, that just doesn't happen.
That sounds like a tanking team.
Exactly.
Bro, 10, and they're not tanking. They're trying very hard to win, and then they lose Roberto Osuna, who John Lopez has an opinion about we'll get to in just a second. But Roberto Osuna has a forearm strain. Here's the skip, Dusty Baker, not laughing at all when it comes to Osuna. The status of Roberto Osuna for the rest of the season.
He just said he had some discomfort in his arm, and so we're sending him back to Houston to get it checked and to get an MRI. So we really don't know yet. I mean, it's a real downer that, you know, when he signals you to come out, boy, that's not the news you want to hear. We just have to wait after he sees the doctor.
Look, first of all, on the injury, that was very obvious. You know, we can speculate about forearm strains all we want, you know, and they're like, oh, no, he's not done for the year. Yes, he is done for the year. Well, maybe he's not done for the year. You know, because we're getting mixed messages from their management on Verlander regarding, you know, what Dusty said about Verlander, what Click said about Verlander, what has been reported by Chandler Rome about Verlander. This one, you can't mask it. You know, you can't disguise the fact he threw a pitch with a chance to save the game, right? Looked
with
at his arm.
Out, with one out.
With one out. Looked at his arm, looked at the dugout, and said, come get me. I mean, there is no, maybe it's just a strain. Because if it was just a strain, Verlander finished with a strain. You know, that thing, I guarantee you he heard a pop.
And the crazy thing is, Osuna was not ready to go. Like, they kept saying how he wasn't ready to go. And then all of a sudden, you see him on Saturday in game two of the season. Then you see him pitching two innings against the Dodgers. And then all of a sudden, he gets hurt. It's not a good look. And it's not a good thing for Dusty Baker, who's dealt with, my God, a lot of stress in nine games. Like, nine games into the season, this man is dealing with all kinds of stress. But Mark Berman, 15% through the season, won't even let the man sleep. Mark Berman, the hardest-working media type. You can tell Dusty's getting a little annoyed by Berman. Berman, about 8 hours after Osuna is on a plane to Houston, is asking him who the new closer's going to be.
Come on, man. I ain't had time to go to sleep on it hardly. You know what I mean? So right now, this is going to be a daily thing until, you know, probably Presley and I tell you who's looked really good is Taylor, but he can't be the left-handed specialist and the closer at the same time.
Okay, that's fine. Just make him the closer. There have been left-handed closers before. I know they don't have another
Shout
left-handed.
Billy Wagner.
By the way, you did what I was afraid I was going to do earlier. I didn't notice it.
I called him Jake Taylor.
You called him Jake Taylor from Major League. You're pointing to the outfield.
It's all right.
Hitting that home run bunt.
Showing up at that girl's house unannounced.
Yeah.
Like, was that weird that he just like showed up to that guy's house and they let him have drinks?
That guy was a turd.
It was a turd, but Taylor followed her home and then just showed up to the crib and then walked in the stairs again.
He's a stalker.
A little bit of a creep.
But I hopped on your post-game show after that game.
On Saturday.
Saturday night. And I told you this, so I'm definitely going to say it here to the loopholes as well. It's almost managerial malpractice what Dusty Baker did with Roberto Osuna, how he handled that. A guy wasn't ready, got here, couldn't pitch off a mound, throwing long toss, just trying to get in shape, running, you know, as much as he can. Lo and behold, two games into the year, he's in the game. You're like, whoa, you know, that happened real fast, especially when you already had an example of what could happen around the league. I know Kershaw got back yesterday, but around the league of guys, pitchers especially, kind of rushing back and getting hurt, and you had one in your clubhouse with Verlander. And you rush him back, and then, of course, pop goes the forearm, air quotes. And now, you know, he's probably, if you had to speculate, he'd be done for the year.
When did Roberto Osuna decide he wanted to look like Snoop Dogg when he first joined Death Row Records?
Dude, I have a philosophy in life. I think it's really weak and sorry when you mock someone's appearance. People can't help how they look unless they can help how they look. Like when people talk about fat people, I'm very uncomfortable with that. People talk about, you know, Nick Wright's nose, you know, we would get nose jokes every day.
He's not fat.
Well, I mean, he's big, you know, all that. You can't help it. I am very anti making, comments about someone's appearance unless it's a good thing. Hey, you know, he looks good. Hey, she looks good. But he could have helped this at some point. Why did you make me do this? At some point,
I'm asking.
Someone told Roberto Osuna, yeah, man, that looks really good. Have y'all seen?
It's kind of a closer look, though. I don't hate it.
It is awful. You don't hate it?
I think he can rock the dreads. Figgy, you like the dreads on Osuna?
It's not dreads.
Nah, I don't think those dreads.
It's not dreads. It's
braids?
It's spaghetti braids. It's like little spaghetti braids. He looks like a cross between.
The earrings.
And the earrings. To me, I finally figured it out. I told Figgy before the show. He looks like a cross between Predator and Post Malone.
Like sexual Predator? Or like Predator?
No, the movie character.
Oh, I thought we were really getting deep. Okay.
Well.
Shout out to Chris Hansen.
Predator and Post Malone. He's a cross between that.
Okay.
Someone told him he looks good.
He ain't saucing.
That was not a good friend.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can see it again soon because I already miss Roberto Osuna. I think I got a new favorite Astro, though. Zach Greinke, obviously, he's he's my biggest fan. Zach Greinke likes our show. Mm-hmm. So, Zach, again, what's your favorite show?
In the Loop.
Okay, there you go. So, Zach, I'm going to pass you off. Blake Taylor, lefty, rookie. The final out yesterday for Blake Taylor. Here's Blake Taylor getting the final out yesterday when the Strohs rallied and won in extras.
Fly ball. Playable. Center field. George Springer puts it away. The Astros are winners in 11 innings. The final score, 6-5.
I think for the first time in a long time, the Astros finally have a good lefty. They haven't had one really in a long, long, long time. They haven't had one since 2017. If you want to count Dallas Keuchel, there it is. But out of the pen, they haven't had a good lefty in a long time. And not only do I like what this kid does. Yesterday, John, he comes in, bases loaded, full count, winning run at third base. Boom! Strike three.
Yeah.
Bases loaded again at the end of the game, tying run on third. Boom! Pop up. Game over. And I like his mentality. I like
his
mindset.
That's it for me.
This is how good of a kid this guy is.
Yeah.
And this is me getting, I'm romanticizing Blake Taylor just because I like him. So he goes on the road for the first time as a rookie. He's from Anaheim, where they are. He's from that city. So that's his area. That's his neck of the woods. This is Blake Taylor talking about the road trip, the mindset, what it's like for him as he makes his first big league road trip.
Oh, I mean, the hotels we stay in are a lot nicer than what we stayed in the minors. And yeah, it's been very interesting to start out like the road trip going at least to my house. Like, I live 20 minutes away from Anaheim. This is the first road trip I've been on in my big league career. And it's kind of a cool feeling, you know, like landing in that airport, a lot of memories, kind of, you almost feel like you're at home. And driving to the stadium today, I actually had like this sense of like nostalgia where I was going back and remembering when I would drive here in 2002 to come watch the Angels play. And this is this is a good road trip to start. And you know, if we could power through this, we're just going to power through this and just make sure everyone ends up safe and healthy this season.
And he goes out there and handles his business, J-Lo. And this is the other thing. Usually in a normal season, when you go home, you're going to see loved ones in the stands. You're going to see parents. And I think some young kids like Blake Taylor in this situation might try to sneak a meeting in with their family.
Not him.
But we've seen what's happened with the Miami Marlins. This is Blake Taylor talking about being 20 minutes from home. You obviously probably miss your family. So, Blake, you're going to try to get a bite to eat with your family or anything like that? This is why I love this kid. This is why this SOB gets it.
I mean, I just don't want to take any chances right now just for everyone's health and safety, and including myself and even my own families, because you never know if somebody has it. You never know. I just don't want to be the guy that gives it or spreads it or gets it. So I just want to be cautious with my teammates and everything with their families as well.
A couple things with him that are just really, really impressive. First of all, and we'll talk about this again, but I don't have a problem making him the closer. Even at his young age, with his lack of experience, and the fact that he's the only lefty, the Astros and a lot of major league teams now, they don't really go that whole lefty righty thing as much, you know.
Especially when you have to face three
batters
minimum.
Yeah, you have to face so why not make him your closer? That's number
Presley
one.
Presley could be the guy. They could be interchangeable.
Presley could be it. They could be an 8-9 guy, and they are right now because of Osuna. But he's pitched 7.1 innings, 7 1/3 innings, 0.0 ERA. But the main thing is what you touched on earlier. I don't like how he's playing as much as what he is. He's just got something.
You just mentioned that zero ERA. This is another good thing about him. Man, we're loving on Blake Taylor a lot.
Yeah.
So he did come in and allow a run, which goes with the way that baseball scored, it goes towards the starting pitcher.
Yeah.
This is Blake Taylor talking about how bad he felt after he did that.
His inherited
mindset
run.
Moving forward.
I gave up somebody's runs. I did not like the way that sat with me, and I told myself I'd try everything in my power to not ever let that happen again. And, you know, Scrub pitched a good game, and, you know, I mean, day game is hot, and, you know, you get tired, but Scrub pitched a great game. He battled through it, and, you know, when the phone rang and they said, hey, you're in, I just said, all right, let's just go out there and continue doing what I'm doing. You know what? Let them put the ball in play. They're a very scrappy team. They put the ball in play a lot. They don't strike out, so let's not go for strikeouts. Let's just go for a ground out right here, a pop out.
That's what I love about him. You know, that what he is, not how he's playing so much. I think it all ties in.
A lot of concerns with the Astros, but Blake Taylor, you got two new fans. Figgy, you want to join the fan club too? You want to?
Sure.
All right, three new fans. Congratulations to you.
Major League.
Blake Taylor. Texans got a new play caller. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. It's Tim Kelly. Deshaun Watson had some interesting things to say about his relationship with Bill O'Brien when he was calling plays. Makes you raise the eyebrows a little bit. We'll hear it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
We know the Texans got a new play caller. Tim Kelly's going to be calling plays. He's followed around Bill O'Brien for about a decade. New play caller? Is it going to be the same old, same old? Who knows? Here is Deshaun Watson, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you on a Reaction Monday. Here's Deshaun Watson talking about Tim Kelly taking over for B.O.B., in an interesting nugget on the dynamic between him and O'Brien his first few years in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of freedom with Coach O'Brien, too. He gave me a lot of freedom. We talked a lot of times, but being the head coach and the OC, you know, there were times where, you know, we were, you know, couldn't meet as much as we wanted to. But I feel like with Tim, you know, I get to see Tim. That's the only person that I'll meet with besides, you know, TJ Yates. So being able to have that, you know, everyday conversation, every meeting conversation with him and being on the same page and seeing eye to eye definitely is going to, you know, take us a long way. But, you know, Tim has been doing a great job of, you know, putting together, you know, different, you know, game plans and scripts and making sure that I'm prepared in each and every game. And I can tell that he's, you know, want to take that to a whole nother level. So, you know, with us, you know, starting camp and, you know, the meetings and the conversation and the leeway he's just throwing out there whenever we step on the field has been great.
They didn't get to meet enough, John.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure they just haven't, like, meet in person enough is what he's talking about. But I've thought from the start that you can just tell. Some things you can just tell, you know, reading between the lines, how they say things, that Deshaun Watson does have a lot of confidence in his relationship with Tim Kelly. Now, neither you nor I nor anyone knows if that's going to translate because it's up to Tim Kelly to call the plays. And, you know, if sure, he gives Deshaun Watson leeway, but Watson, you just heard him say it right there. So did Bill O'Brien. That didn't work out so well either because of it's the plays you have and the instruction you have on those plays that ultimately decide things. So I think he has a really good relationship with Tim Kelly, and that's a good start, man.
He talked about how Bill O'Brien couldn't meet with him as much as they'd liked. That's a problem. Like if Deshaun Watson didn't feel like he was having enough meetings with the coach who was in charge of calling the plays, I don't care if you're the head coach or not. I don't think Pat Mahomes is going to.
You're
say
talking
the same
about with,
about
with
Andy
O'Brien
Reid.
In the past.
Yeah, with O'Brien in the past, talking about how they didn't get to meet as much as they'd like because he was the head coach. Do you think Pat Mahomes is saying that about Andy Reid? Do you think Jared Goff saying that about Sean McVay? Like, do you think Sean Payton and Drew Brees would say that? To me, that's troubling. The quarterback should be your first priority. And it's not like it hasn't been done before. So when you lay out the excuse that we didn't get to meet as much, that's an O'Brien thing more so than it is a systematic thing because there are relationships like that where that's not an issue.
That's why I started calling him the I got this guy. You can just tell with Bill O'Brien. You know, I have a few of those tendencies, but I think Bill O'Brien is over the top. You know, a typical work week for Bill O'Brien. And I got to be very clear, I'm not in that building, but just as I understand it, and common sense will tell you, he's got to meet with agents and personnel in the building and scouts and college scouts with his GM hat on. This is during the season now. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about during the season this happens. They have Tuesday tryouts. I'm sure he's got to pop his head in there or spend some time talking about it. Tuesday workouts with potential additions. You know, that's still the GM hat. Then he's got the head coach hat, meeting with defensive coaches and the coaching staff at large about game plan. Then he's got game plan with Tim Kelly. Then he's got the practices. Then he's got quarterback room. You can't do it all. I don't care who you are, if you're the I got this guy, if you're Superman, you can't do it all. And that alone is one reason I like the fact that Tim Kelly, if it does happen, is going to be calling all the plays.
Do you think it's going to be different? Do you really think it's going to be different?
I do think it's going to be different if the I got this guy lets Tim Kelly do it. Now, it's still the same place.
So you think Tim Kelly's different than B.O.B.?
Everybody is. Even if it's just a tweak. Even if it's just a tweak, you know?
Everybody is.
Everybody is. Even if it's just a tweak, you know, if you run this show, and I'm, you know, what they call the number two. If the roles were reversed, but you still laid out and we all contributed to our rundown of the show, it would be different. We would have the same elements, the same play sheet, if you will, but it would be different. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so different is good in this case. Not necessarily that you don't think Tim Kelly's like the end-all, be-all, but different is what we need.
He's got his personality.
We can't just have a complete overhaul. Different is good.
His stamp, his personality, his own thoughts.
Now, there were reports.
Same play sheet, but his thoughts.
There were rumblings that Tim Kelly would put together a game plan, and then Bill O'Brien would come in there on Friday and say, "What the hell is this? Let's rip this up.
Well, let's get it out of here." Be honest, we both heard that independent of each other. That on come Wednesday or Thursday,
I think Cecil talked about it, and I think Seth has talked about it in the morning show. Just to add some clarity to it, we're not pulling this out of our ass.
Yeah, come Wednesday after they have the Sunday film session, Monday meeting and game planning initiative, Tuesday game planning, Wednesday they start practicing. We have heard that Bill O'Brien says no. We're not doing this, this, and this. Let's add this, this, and this. That's not a good recipe.
It's not a good recipe, and I don't know if this is a good recipe or not, but as the OG John Lopez just said, it is different. It's definitely going to be different. So we hope. One thing I think the Texans do have in their favor, and obviously this isn't how you rank football teams because defense matters, receivers matter, special teams matter, but I think honestly, if you just objectively said, we're going to take the quarterback and we're going to take the offensive line and we're going to rank the NFL 1 to 32 based on their quarterback and their offensive line, I think the Texans are top three. I think they could be a top five.
Top three?
Maybe top five. Five. I'll go top five. I think if you factor in the offensive line with all five starters returning, with everything they've invested in it, three first-rounders, three second rounders, and then you have Zach Fulton because you made the Tunsil trade, you used the first rounder on hire, Nick Martin, all that. I think if you just rank the quarterback and offensive lines, I think it's top five.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean? What are the receivers? What are the running backs? Where are the defense? That comes into play. But I do think as far as just the offensive line and quarterback duos, the Texans are up there near the top. Here is Deshaun Watson, the franchise quarterback of your Houston Texans, talking about the importance of that offensive line and all five starters returning.
I feel like having that group and that chemistry back is going to be great. I know if you look back on, over the couple of years, but when we had our, especially last year, our starting five O-line, we've been very, very dominant. And we've been very, successful, when all five of those guys are playing at the same time. So if we can keep those guys healthy through a full season and build that chemistry, you can just see it, through the locker room, throughout the building, how, they just move as a unit. They move as a group. And everywhere, one person goes, everyone goes. So you love to see that, and you're very confident in, the coaching staff and myself.
That is one of the very sneaky strengths of the team is just the continuity on the offensive line. He is not wrong. I've said it in the past. I think you agree, and this is absolutely true. It's the first time the Texans have returned their entire offensive line in nearly a decade. That's important to have those guys back. So he's absolutely right there.
Did you see David Johnson call you out basically and
he
say
did?
He's going to make the haters? He said he's going to make the haters eat their words.
Who's hating other than me?
I think a lot of people.
Well, and I'm not even really hating. I'm just telling you what history tells us. I mean, where am I wrong about his last two or three years in the league?
He said something along the lines of, I'm gonna show people that are doubting me what's up. And I scroll through his Twitter timeline, and I'm like, okay, he's motivated. But then a pinned tweet right at the top, the exact same thing basically before the 2018 season. So, okay, didn't happen in 2018.
Two years later.
Maybe the third time's a charm for David Johnson. Speaking of David Johnson and Duke Johnson, Johnson and Johnson, here is Deshaun Watson talking about those guys out of the backfield.
I mean, they create so much. You have to respect that. Not just running the ball. So you have to respect, is it going to be a pass or is it going to be a run? And with both of those guys on the field, you don't know who's going to touch the ball. So we can do so many different things, especially with David coming in and his size, his speed. And then you have Duke, his, coming out the backfield and his be able to agility and be able to move and things like that. So, yeah, it's been good to be able to have, two guys like that. I've never had that in my career. So it's going to be fun to be able to play with both of them and see what we can do.
Career low, by the way, last year in receptions for Duke Johnson. And, yeah, you never have had it. You had Lamar Miller and Alfred Blue. And then last year, of course, you had Carlos Hyde, who couldn't catch, and Duke Johnson. So, yeah, it is something new.
It's absolutely true, and I've said this, as much as I doubt David Johnson as a runner, I think they're going to be volatile as a backfield tandem coming out of the backfield. They're going to be able to catch the ball. I just don't think they're going to be able to rush the ball between the tackles on third and one, third and two.
How many yards is David Johnson going to have rushing this year? I said over 1,000.
500.
Okay, it's gone down to 500.
I'm not trying to be.
So he's going to have 40 yards a game. No, that's even less than that.
Yeah.
He's going to have 30 yards a game.
I'm not trying to be as. Well, first of all, you're assuming 16 games, and that's key. I'm not trying to be funny.
500 yards, John?
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be a smartass. If you look at what David Johnson has done, expecting him to rush for 500 yards is totally in line with what he's been the last couple of years.
Good God. Man.
Well, ask me what he ran for last year. Rushing. You said rushing, right?
Something.
Ask me.
What did he rush for last year?
He rushed for 345 yards.
Yeah, year before he had over 900, though.
He had 900 yards, 940. The year before that had 23.
He got hurt, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does come into play.
Oh, so he didn't play 16 games is what you're saying.
David Johnson. Over, under 1,000. I'm going over 1,000. J-Lo's going with about 50. Coming up on the hits, they are definitely lit. Bad Dusty Baker, good Bill O'Brien. The Rockets are rolling but getting petty. And if Alfred Blue were on the Astros, his name would be Toro. That's next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
38 days till the Texans take on the Kansas City Chiefs, but they haven't even strapped on pads yet. Bill O'Brien, when the hell are we going to see some real football?
The first couple of weeks here will be a lot of strength and conditioning and walkthroughs, and then we'll progress into kind of like an OTA type mode. And then I'd say the first day in full pads would be August 14th, and that's when we'll start, you know, what we always call real football.
Real football, baby.
I know, that's what I called it.
Real football. The pads will come on.
Just try to get through the other nonsense.
11 days from now, about 2 weeks, the Texans will strap on the pads. Now, will Deshaun Watson be playing on his rookie contract? He will be the next 2 years, but will he have a hefty deal like we saw Pat Mahomes get? We know you're head coach. We know you're also the GM, Bill O'Brien, King Bill, as we like to call him. What's the latest on that Deshaun Watson contract?
You know, we're not going to talk about contracts in the media, but, you know, we obviously have stated we have so much belief in Deshaun. We love Deshaun. We want him here for a long time. But, you know, we're not going to negotiate contracts or do anything like that through the media. We'll keep that between us and Deshaun's representatives. But, you know, he's here. He's excited, and we're excited about the season.
Let me ask you something. Just a total speculation. We heard what Deshaun Watson had to say about it earlier, and you'll hear that again, but basically he was very, very diplomatic, but made little hints that, yeah, I want to get this thing done, and yes, I know what I'm worth, and I want to see what happens in the organization before I really commit to a long-term deal. Shout out to Brandon Scott, who asked a very good question on that. You just heard Bill O'Brien. We're not going to talk about it publicly. So you don't have a real feel, but let me just ask you this total irresponsible speculation, okay? How do you think it's going? How do you think the negotiation is going right now?
I think Deshaun has all the leverage.
Well, that's not the question. How do you think it's going? Do you think that it's leaning toward a very happy Deshaun, or are they kind of at a blocking point right now?
I think Deshaun is keeping it at an arm's length, and I think Deshaun wants a short-term commitment with a lot of money, and I don't think he wants to commit 5-10 years that you see a lot of quarterbacks get. I think that's the situation that they're dealing with. He wants a lot of money, and he wants it in about a 3-year period.
Here's what I think is going on. Total, again, up front, totally irresponsible speculation on my part. But, you know, these thoughts occur to me, and I want to get your thoughts, and I want to throw them out there. I think Deshaun Watson, and maybe this is because this is what I would do. Deshaun Watson's agent is basically telling Bill O'Brien and the Texans, look, we really don't know what the future is here for you guys, for this regime, from Jackie Easterby to Bill O'Brien to the entire coaching staff. So if you want me to commit to this team, I think Deshaun Watson wants more than a 5-year deal. I think he wants ginormous dollars. And maybe that's how I would do it, and that's why I'm saying this. Look, you want me to commit? It isn't going to be a 4-year deal. It's going to be 7 years, maybe 8 years, with exact Patrick Mahomes money. If you want me, that's what it's going to be. Because from my perspective, if you want me to sign this deal with the Texans, I better be, if I'm uncertain about the future of the organization and the leadership, I better be paid handsomely, like real handsomely, like Patrick Mahomes handsomely.
I think this contract's going to be Deshaun Watson taking the leverage. I think he is going to be the most powerful guy in the building. I think if anything goes on, we've talked about Bill O'Brien being the most powerful guy. I think this is going to be a situation where Deshaun Watson takes the leverage. Deshaun Watson's the face of the franchise. Deshaun Watson is the guy that is the most, not just important, but the most powerful guy in the building. I think that's where it's going, and I think that's where it's heading. Now, how much power does Jack Easterby have? Because we know that Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby work together. Here's Jack Easterby talking about his relationship with Bill O'Brien, who O'Brien says Easterby will have a hand in this Deshaun Watson negotiation.
I've just tried in everything that I can do as a friend and as a coworker to serve him. Day one, we've done this together. We've received this protocol and we've done it together. We set the building up together. We thought about the schedule together. Been texting and talking through it because I don't think necessarily there's one moment where you ever figure it all out. I think it's about just stay at the table, support, encourage, love, tell the truth, because in some ways it can be a raw environment for all of us, you know, me particularly, as I try to lead and serve this group. And so, you know, coach has been great. We've done it together. My goal is just to serve him and serve everybody in this building by being there for them if they need to talk. If someday they're not okay, which will probably happen to all of us at some point, I think we've done it together, and I'm going to support him and his family night and day to try to make sure we have a great season this year as best we can.
How much power does he have is your question. I think he's right there next to Bill O'Brien. If he doesn't have as much power as Bill O'Brien, he's just a tick.
How do you feel about that? Feel about him having that much power? Does that make you comfortable?
You know who I think it should make uncomfortable? I'm being dead serious. Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien has had his way with everyone in that building since the moment he stepped here. Ultimately, he came in saying, singing the praises of Rick Smith, and then of course that disintegrated and Bill O'Brien won. And then he had Brian Gain, his guy. You know, they're all pulling the rope in the same direction, had their differences, and Bill O'Brien won. He became general manager by name, you know, by title. Bill O'Brien won. And now, you know, he's got a guy that I think is going to have as much power and the ear of the ownership as much as he does. If Bill O'Brien flops, and you've been saying it, maybe Jack Easterby's going to stay. I think those odds are increasing. I don't think it'll happen personally. I think you should clean house, or should happen. I think you should clean house if Bill O'Brien flops. But I think Jack Easterby, it's on the table that he would stay because he's got that kind of power.
And the credibility of Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby is going to be on display when you trade DeAndre Hopkins, you bring in the new guys that they've brought in. The credibility is going to be on the line right off the top. Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, David Johnson, no DeAndre Hopkins. Here's Deshaun Watson on getting to get some work in with the new guys that are replacing Nuke Hopkins.
It's been good the times we've been working out, but it's also been difficult and kind of, you know, nerve-wracking because we haven't been able to work out as much as, you know, we wanted to. But at the same time, you know, we've been FaceTime testing, doing a lot of mental work. So whenever they came in, they were ready and prepared.
That's basically the going thing right now, you know, is how he's got to be able to do things right now. So I don't read a whole lot into that other than he's just getting it done.
Had some opt-outs. We know that the Texans don't have full participation. Some more opt-outs and some positive COVID tests around the league. CJ Mosley, the latest to opt out with the Jets. He joins a long list of New England Patriots. Bills also lost E.J. Gaines for the season. Good cornerback over the weekend. We found out Doug Peterson has tested positive for the Rona, the Super Bowl winning head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles, as well as Matthew Stafford and Gardner Minshew, which might make it more possible for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know what impact this will have, but Gardner Minshew, chances are, if he does do the quarantine, he's going to be there right as they start to strap on the pads, but he's going to miss some valuable time unless they do it via Zoom. It kind of makes Jacksonville, who has two first-round picks, the possibility of getting Trevor Lawrence kind of increases it a little bit.
A lot higher. The list of big-name players that are opting out is growing by the day. And clearly, Doug Peterson is not opting out, but he's tested positive. He has his availability going on in Philadelphia as we speak and monitoring that. He's just basically saying he feels okay, but he's going to be doing everything virtually. Didn't know where he got it, wouldn't speculate, but he feels good about things there. That's why I thought it was a very good question for Bill O'Brien. Did you at all consider, even though we probably all know the answer, did you at all consider opting out? He has a special needs kid at home. In his words...
It's more than special needs.
It's more than special needs.
He's a sick kid.
Yeah. And in Bill O'Brien's words, if I got corona, I'm paraphrasing, if I got the virus...
Wouldn't be good.
It would not be good for Jack. So I think it was a very legitimate question, but big time names are either getting it or opting out. This is not going to go away anytime soon in terms of direct effect on what happens on the field.
I mean, the survival of the fittest, you got to be very responsible. Yeah. You heard Deshaun talk about that. You heard B.O.B. and Easterby say, you know, the guys that are responsible in handling the virus, they'll have the upper hand in 2020. Strohs over the weekend, take 2 out of 3 from the Angels. Only loss on Saturday. A good outing from Zach Greinke. By the way, Greinke, what was your favorite radio show again?
In the Loop.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate you. However, the big news on top of George Springer getting those 5 hits over the weekend, the state of the bullpen. This was Dusty Baker before Saturday talking about the state of his bullpen, which has 10 rookies in the rotation.
Dusty, you feel better about your bullpen several days? I guess a week into the season, you feel better about it?
I don't know. That's a pretty good question. Well, I mean, they're more experienced than they were a week ago. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I guess I do. And I'm getting a better idea about them.
Okay. That was hours before Roberto Osuna left the game with forearm soreness. Dusty Baker, hours after that, giving an update on the Astros closer.
He just said he had some, you know, discomfort in his arm. And so we're sending him back to Houston to get it checked and to get an MRI. So we really don't know yet. I mean, it's a real downer that, you know, when he signals you to come out, boy, that's not the news you want to hear. We just have to wait after he sees the doctor.
So no forearm soreness, no forearm strain for Roberto Osuna is what we're saying here. It's an absolute elbow problem, and you could see it from the moment that he hurt himself. The bullpen, as you just referenced, is in... I want to say it's a mess, but the young guys, a lot of them have been producing.
Better than the bats.
Yeah, they've been producing. Yeah.
They've been better than the bats, to say the very least. Other roster updates, Urquidy, who's in Corpus Christi, could be with the team in a couple weeks. Dusty talked about whether or not he was going to be a starter or a reliever. Yordan Alvarez, I guess he's up to 30 swings, which I don't know the process of a hitter. He started taking live BP last week, and then they said he's up to 30 swings. I've heard it with pitchers, but I don't know what the hell 30 swings means.
I've never
heard that. I don't know
if that's
far along. I don't know if it's close. I have no idea what that
Monitoring
means.
Monitoring the number of swings.
No idea.
This is where we are now with the analytics.
Maybe it's new. I have no
idea.
What
if he took 31? Would he be in trouble?
I don't
would he
know.
Hurt himself?
I'd never heard that. But that's what Dusty said.
Don't you just swing until you're like, okay, I'm good.
No clue.
Yeah.
Chris Devinsky, he goes to the injured list. And then you have Ryan Pressly making his debut over the weekend. Not very sharp. Didn't get out of the inning. But Pressly is back. You got to be cautious with him. Rockets over the weekend. They win 2 games starting on Friday, 153-149 over the Dallas Mavs. And then last night, big win, 120-116 over the Milwaukee Bucks. And Giannis, the Greek freak, Antetokounmpo, however
good
you
enough.
Say it.
Close enough.
61 of their 91 shots.
61 threes?
Were threes. Interesting. But a good start for the Rockets. And most importantly, they avoid facing the Los Angeles Clippers most likely in that first round, which was very important.
I absolutely don't know what to think about this Rockets team. I mean, they're good. I think that. But you go from one of the worst, most embarrassing defensive performances you'll ever see to pretty good defense against a really good team.
The really best team good in defense.
Really good defense against So I don't know what to make of that. I also don't know what to make of just how far they can go. The small ball is working for now, but everything's going to be different in the postseason. It's like defense is a mood, you know. Defense is a mood for the Rockets. Do we feel like playing today?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not in the mood. Okay, we'll just score 160 points today. Do we feel like playing defense? Yeah, man, I'm kind of feeling a little defensey.
Let's go get it.
You know, let's go get it.
Here's Russell Westbrook talking about the style that the Rockets play. Our own Adam Spillane, SportsRadio610.com, asking Russ if he feels that their style is an advantage with the NBA restarting.
With the style and pace that you guys are playing at, do you feel like you've worn these two teams down this weekend?
I think so. I think throughout a game, it's tough to withstand. Honestly, it's just how we play. We're used to playing that way, something that teams are not used to. And I think it goes to our advantage.
Can you feel that as the game is progressing?
I definitely feel it. I'm always looking at other guys and seeing when they're trying to catch their breath. You know, if they're in tune with what's going on, it definitely wears them down.
I think this style benefits you early on, but I think as things tighten up and teams start finding their rhythm, I don't know that that's necessarily the case, but I think early on this is a style that is beneficial to the Rockets. I think it's a big part of why they got two dubs over the weekend.
And let's not forget, as much as they say otherwise, it's proved year in, year out. You get to the postseason, the defense gets a lot rougher and the calls get a lot looser. And so I think a lot of guys on that face the Rockets, they're not getting the same treatment, if you will, by officiating as they will in the postseason.
Here's James Harden. He was asked about guarding the Greek Freak because he had some good defensive possessions yesterday, especially in crunch time. James Harden, Greek Freak, has taken some shots at James Harden. Here was a question to James Harden about the difficulty of guarding the most likely back-to-back MVP of the NBA.
Difficult it was to defend Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Next question.
Okay.
I don't get this. I flat out, straight up, do not get this. You can, you know, this whole rivalry that he has with Antetokounmpo is based on the MVP award, man. I mean, they had these, you know, kind of a little tiff, if you will, during the All-Star week. Why is this that important? Why is this? I get it. You want to win an individual award. You probably would have, you know, should have had, you know, an opportunity to win the award. You did. It's not like Giannis did not deserve it. And this is what you're angry about. This is why you're not even giving him a backhanded compliment like, well, he's a good player, but, you know, I feel like we did a good job. You know, he just flat out said, next question. Why?
They got beef, bro. They got beef.
Over an MVP award?
Hell yeah, they got beef over an MVP award. You damn right.
Over individual awards. Let me ask you
this.
The
beef is back, baby.
Actually, I'm not even going to ask you this. I'm going to make my own statement on this because I do believe this.
I believe it.
This is symptomatic of why people think of James Harden and the Rockets the way they do. Like, they more care more about the individual accolades and the numbers. This is why Rockets Twitter always feels like somebody's out to get them. Because of things like this. It's just silly. I could go on a 15-minute rant on this. I'm not.
You should.
Because it's not that important. It's an argument between two gazillionaires over an individual award in the midst of a pandemic when you should have and could have easily talked about, yes, he's a good player, but I feel like I'm better. Nobody would have blamed you for that. Yeah, he's pretty good, but I play pretty good defense. And giving him a backhanded compliment. Instead, you're like, next questioning? This is silly. Absolutely. This is why people think about the Rockets the way they do.
OG John Lopez.
It is.
There you go. You know what? I like your style there. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Sports have resumed. We're going to have another two-piece tomorrow. We're going to get to catch our breath. But there are a few questions regarding the major teams in town that need to be answered. We will answer them as lunchtime begins next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it?
Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.